Can you imagine living your life and after you're gone, someone encapsulates your life by writing three chapters about you and you come out looking really bad, that you haven't fulfilled your call from God and that you're a failure. Someone needs to stand up for this guy. His name is Jonah, and he's the coolest guy. He wasn't a failure to God. He was a failure a little bit to himself because he had such passion and love for God and God's people, Israel. Let me tell you a little bit about Jonah. He was a prophet for 50 years. I'd be exhausted. 50 years he was a prophet. And by all accounts, from Kings in particular, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, he was an outstanding prophet. He spoke about the restoration of God's people. Just like you and I anticipate the redemption, the renewal, the liberation of all things because of Jesus that Isaiah talked about and others talked about. It's a beautiful prophet of God. But his love for God's people was so great that he was totally confused by this call of God to go and speak to a group of people who were always opposed to God's people and wanted to annihilate them and treated them horribly. If that doesn't mean anything to you, think of this. Who do you love most in this world? Who do you love with all of your heart in this world? Now picture that person being taken away from you, being treated, mistreated horribly. You would beg that they would just get rid of the one that you love because they're being persecuted and tortured. And there's nothing you can do about it. And you have to listen to it and see it from afar. How would you feel about that? Jonah was a man who was a prophet of God, who loved his people so much that when they were carried off in the past by the Ninevites over the umbrella of the Assyrians, who were a very cruel and vindictive people. And this story, three chapters, of course, there weren't three chapters when this was written. It was just written, and then we put three chapters in. There is symbolism galore. A lot of people don't read this book, and they say, what a fable. Who can live in a fish for 3 days and three nights? Well, there's a lot of Jewish symbolism in this book. 40 days, 40 nights. It's used often in this book. 3 days and three nights is used often in this book. Stop. Remember what Jesus said after his own resurrection, when he said, everything that happened to me was already spoken about me by Moses and the old law, by all of the prophets and the Psalms. So when we look at the prophets, we try to see Jesus in there, and we can see Jesus everywhere in these three chapters. 3 days and three nights. Jesus died, buried, rose again. Three events over a period of 3 days. And three is the symbolism that is all throughout this book. In fact, he's swallowed by a leviathan, a large fish. Now, I want to just ask you to think with me for just a minute. Do you remember in the Revelation, at the end, when God creates the new heavens and the new earth, and John in his joy says, and I looked, and there was no longer any sea. He was surrounded by waters if he was on Patmos. Here is this island that he's banished, and there's no longer any sea. The Jewish teaching about sea is this is where all the nasty things come up out of the sea swallowing boats. And think about it, for generations and generations and generations, if you're going to travel from one country to another and you have to cross water, you're going by a boat. And there's all kinds of examples we know of where even the Titanic, an impregnable boat, will never sink, down it goes. And there's this teaching of the sea will swallow you up. It was called the pit. It was called the grave. And as we look in this book, that's a beautiful book, this man whose name means peace was totally distraught because he couldn't believe that God was asking him to do what he was supposed to do, to go to a group of people and preach that they need to repent. When all along, people that he loves more than he loves himself are absolutely being destroyed. But it's interesting how the end of it goes. Now, for the month of November, we've been looking at prayers. And I don't know about you. I confess this to you openly. Please forgive me. That I know the story of Jonah pretty well. But I couldn't tell you a thing about his prayer. And the strength of the book is the prayer. Here he is. Whether he's swallowed up by this fish or it's symbolism, meaning he's swallowed up by himself. God gives him a commission. He can't believe that God is giving this commission. And he is drowning in the seaweed of his own anxiety. He's swallowed by this call of God that's hunting him down. It's pressing him under the seas of destruction. He cannot believe that God would ask him to do this. And there are times, I think, in all of our lives when we can't believe something is happening to us, where we've gone pretty well through life, we've had some ups and downs, and all of a sudden, through necessarily no fault of our own, we're caught in something that we can't get out of. We have to do something about it, and what are we going to do? So you can go the route with me you choose to go. Was he swallowed by a fish? Many people, billions of people believe, yep, he was swallowed by a large fish. That's fine. But you can also not escape the story by thinking, I don't believe that. Would you believe, though, that possibly Jonah was swallowed up by his own guilt, that he felt like he was going to die, that he was drowning underwater? The story is just as strong. Maybe there are times in our life, I don't think there's any person here that can ever stand up and say, yep, I was fishing, fell out of the boat, and a great big creature swallowed me up. 3 days later, I was puked up on the shore. I don't think anybody's going to say that. Could have happened in this story. But how many of us have been swallowed up by a circumstance in life where every single one of our emotions is so strong that we don't know what to do and we are drowning in it? That's the story of Jonah. He loves God, he loves the people of God, and he cannot believe that these evil people are treating God's people like they are. And so he's swallowed up, and inside of this fish, he prays this prayer. I don't have it on outline, but maybe you want to follow it along in your Bible in Jonah chapter 2. I want us to look at the prayer. The strength of the lesson, if there's any strength to it at all, is to put yourself in a position where you don't want to go back to this. I kind of feel badly for Jonah. You know, 50 years, the guy was an awesome prophet. And he comes away because somebody writes this book, and it's just, oh, really? You're going to sum up my life by this negative where I've done good all my life? And how many times have we come across people in our lives where we remember them for one thing? And it's the negative. And yet, maybe they lived all their life with some positives. We're all there. The strength of any sermon, I think, is to try to put ourselves in it. Have you ever prayed this prayer? In distress, you call out to the Lord, and the Lord answers me. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 1. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. and you listened to my cry. Have you ever prayed where you would gladly give up your life if the result was going to benefit this? I know that sounds confusing. I'll tell you one quick story. It's an emotional one for me. But you have all found yourselves in places where you want to bargain with God. When our oldest daughter was giving birth to her son, it was iffy. It was dangerous. And it was getting to the point where I'm not sure this child is going to make it. And I remember, and you would do the same. God, if it comes down to it, take my life. Let this baby live. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. God somehow did what he was going to do anyway and allowed it to take place. Baby was born, no worries. The thing is, how many times have we prayed prayers like that? Cause me the pain. Any parent, cause me the pain. Let the child be okay. We know that. See, Jonah, he's praying. God, just, take my life. And then when it looks like you're in distress, you call out in this distress. You've hurled me into deep. We've all been there. And into the very heart of the seas. The currents swirled around me. Your waves and breakers, they swept over me. We've been there. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again to your holy temple, again, which is the Jewish understanding, the Lord is in his holy temple. Say it with me. Let all the world keep silent before him. In this fish, symbolism are real, and he's looking. He's looking to the temple. He's running away from the temple, but he's looking at the temple. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, you brought me up from the pit. My life was ebbing away. I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And this is where you got to have a little bit of humor, I think. Because it says, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. I apologize for my brain being as weird as it is. Pardon me. But sometimes when a person vomits, there's a preamble. There's gurgling. Put yourself in Jonah's position. If you're a believer that he's in this belly of a fish, all of a sudden the fish isn't feeling too good, and you're not feeling too good because the fish isn't feeling too good. Number one, you wouldn't be feeling too good being in the belly of a fish anyway. And all of a sudden, this nauseous Leviathan is starting the dry heaves. Pretty soon, you're caught up, and away you go out into the land. It's a story of, and this is, no pun intended, really sick. It's just an experience that you can't comprehend. And unfortunately, what gets lost in the story is, number one, fish. Number two, being puked up on the land. What gets missed is, no, Jonah's whole body. You know when you're emotionally distraught, it takes every part of you, intellectually, emotionally, and physically. You're so distraught, and even spiritually. And finally, when our life is ebbing away, we call out. And of course, God is always reminding us, don't wait for that. talk to me all of the time. Prayer is this constant communication with God. It's like that old saint, Brother Lawrence, who was an academic and gave it all up to work menial jobs because what he wanted to do more than anything else in his life is to remind himself that God was with him every moment of the day. And even though we know that intellectually, we seldom remember this. And what's interesting to me is I haven't really finished the story. I remember driving home with Barbie from Sick Kids Hospital when Adrian was born. And for a couple of days, it was a bit tenuous, but we thought everything was going to be okay. And I shared with you how I just bore my soul to God, poured out. I can't think of a better word. Poured it out. Didn't leave anything. Emotions are there. Driving home. Pulling into my driveway and thinking, I didn't even thank God. Didn't thank him. I begged him. I pleaded with him. I said, take my life. He answers this prayer in a positive way. I didn't even thank him. So the next day, I thanked him all the way to the hospital. I thanked him all the way back home. Jonah goes to these people and he does something that no other person in the entire world that I know of ever did. He preaches an 8-word sermon. 8 words is all he said. Here's what he says. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And 120,000 people responded and asked God for forgiveness. And he doesn't like it because his heart is still so broken. Let me close with a prayer that is the only one that I know of in the entire Bible where there is no resolve. We don't know the end of the story. 60% of the Psalms are called lament Psalms. Lament Psalms are what we're talking about today. When you feel so hurt, you feel so broken, you feel so embarrassed by yourself for whatever reason, that's lament. And so you call out to God. But in all lament psalms, there is a return to thank God. There is a good result that comes, or there is a pleading with God. This is the only psalm in the Bible. In fact, it's the only prayer in the Bible where there is no resolve. And I think it's there because there are many times in our life where we have been so low, as I confessed to you today, where you give your all to God and you never say thank you. I'm sure you all have. But here's this story. I think every once in a while when you can't pray, I close with this, I promise. You've been very patient today. I think sometimes when we can't pray, there's a couple of things that happen. If you feel comfortable, you tell a couple of people and they'll pray for you. Prayer is beautiful. Praying for others is a great thing to do. But when you can't even find the strength to do that, pray. And if there is no resolve, it's okay. You just gave it all to God. Here's this prayer. Here's what he says. Lord, you are the God who saves me. This is Psalm 88. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night, I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I'm overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit, the sea. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkness, depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves, Jonah. You've taken from me my closest friends and made me repulsive to them. I'm confined. I cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the places of darkness? Are your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and have been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. I love that prayer. I love that prayer because it's just honest. I'd love to know the end of the story. I don't know how it ever resolves. But the coolest thing is, sometimes we don't pray because we're so upset, we're so sad, we're so angry. That's when to pray. Even the prayer of, God, I don't even know if you're there, but if you are, put it all out there. Just pour it all out. Story of Jonah. He's a cool guy. His love, his passion for his people. My prayer is that all of us will always be authentic in our emotional expressions to God. God bless all of us in our prayers. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.